I speak this morning in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. When I was a young teenager, I think about 14 years old, I began to suspect that my father was guilty of unfair labor practices. And it was all happening right in our own home. A friend of mine had just finished building a fence in their backyard. This was subcontracted by his father, and he was rewarded with the princely sum of $20. I didn't really notice the fact that my friend had done all the work all by himself. All I noticed was the 20 bucks. I did lots of stuff around our house. Where was my 20 bucks? Where was my reward? So I decided to file a grievance with management. One Saturday morning, not long afterwards, I was helping my father lay some big stones for a new patio in our backyard, and I asked, "So, what do I get for doing all this?" And my father put down his patio stone and gave me his look. And he said, "Philip, you get a nice patio to sit on this evening with your mother and your brothers and your sister and me enjoying a nice drink. That's what you get. That and dinner tonight." Well, I could see this conversation wasn't going to go the way I intended. So I gave up. And I guess you could say my father reframed the whole question. I was thinking in terms of employment and compensation, performance and reward, quid and pro quo. My father was urging me, my stubborn, snarky 14-year-old me, my father was urging me to think about it differently, to think about our family life together and how each one of us could make a contribution to that, our own contribution to our life together. Each one of us could offer what we could to make our home and our life together nicer and more loving and more generous and more fun. And I was 14 years old and I still felt like I deserved some cash, but over the years I've come to see that my dad was right. Working together for something good for all of us, sharing that effort and that product, that's where it's all at. That's its own reward. That's worth way more than 20 bucks, and I would give you way more than 20 bucks just for the opportunity of one more night, one more nice, cool Canadian summer evening sitting on that patio with my dad. Jesus reframes a similar conversation with the disciples just this way in this morning's gospel. Jesus needs to get them thinking about what they're doing in a different way. It all starts out, innocently enough, with the disciples asking for increased faith. The Greek is bigger faith. I don't know what that looks like, but they're asking for it. It all sounds pretty good, but Jesus detects something underneath the surface, something maybe a little bit self-serving. Sometimes the disciples got themselves into the same frame of mind I was in as a teenager. Sometimes the disciples said to Jesus, "Look at all we've given up to follow you. Look at all we've done for you. Where's our reward? What do we get? Was there a hint of that here? The disciples want bigger faith, or maybe did they just want impressive faith? Did they want faith, or maybe the strength and power they thought would come with faith? At any rate, they do seem to think that they're entitled to something. And Jesus' answer is harsh but true. First of all, he needs to give them a little bit of instruction about faith. They keep using that word, but it doesn't really mean what they think it means. He needs to remind them that the disciples and all the rest of us humans will never have adequate faith. We'll never have perfect faith, or even close, not on all our own. Because faith isn't something that can be poured into us from the outside, like gas in a car. Faith is an attitude that comes from inside us. Faith is an attitude of utter trust. And we humans, we just find that hard. I like to try to keep some control in my own hands. I don't like trusting completely. We humans, our faith is always frail and fragile and fallen and fleeting and fickle. And it will never on its own be enough. That's the bad news. The good news is this. When it comes to faith, the important thing is not how much we have or how big ours is, whatever that might mean. When it comes to faith, the important thing is not how much you've got, but where you put it. Even a little bit of our flawed, frail human faith, even a little bit, even smaller than a mustard seed, placed in Jesus, miraculously becomes something bigger. That's when it starts to happen. Our hesitant faith, our flawed, imperfect, hesitant faith, put in the right place, becomes enough. When we put it in Jesus, that becomes enough to empower us to work for God's kingdom. It becomes enough to deliver us from evil. It becomes enough to let us stand in God's presence and serve Him. When it comes to faith, it's not how much you've got, but where you put it that really counts. Jesus gives the disciples and us a few home truths about faith and where He fits in. But Jesus wants to do more. He wants to reframe this whole conversation that the disciples are having. He wants to gently but firmly deal with this sense of entitlement that's crept into their hearts. And that's when he tells that difficult little parable about the master and the servant. He's reminding them, you're not in this for reward. He's reminding them that their calling as disciples isn't about work and wages. It isn't about quid and pro quo. It's more like that patio in my backyard. It's about working together to build something beautiful and new for the life of everyone. This is about each disciple making the contribution they can to that beautiful new thing that's happening in their midst, that they're called to be part of. That beautiful new thing was God coming to be king, and it was happening in Jesus. And the disciples are invited to be part of helping that to happen. They're not in this so that God will owe them something at the end. They aren't in this thing with Jesus for a payoff when he finally hits the big time. They're in it to help him in his mission in the world. They're in it to help him build something beautiful and new. Something that's going to be its own reward. They're with him to serve obediently as Jesus brings into being a new kingdom where God is returned to the center of human life, where humans are restored to their true nobility and dignity, where the whole creation is brought into the peace and harmony it was meant for in the first place. That's the reward. And that's what we're called to, too. Us modern day disciples. We're called to making that kingdom just a little bit more real around us. Helping Jesus edge that kingdom into our world, our setting, our life. So we do the work that the Master has given us to do. The disciples and us. Think about the things that Jesus mentions in that difficult parable. Going out in the field, coming home, tending the flock, serving at the table. We're called to do all three. We go out into the fields and we plow. In our mission and our service and our proclamation out there, we go out into the world and we get it ready for the seed, for the word of God's love. We proclaim. Then we come back in here and we tend the flock. We care for one another. We love one another, hold one another accountable, form this unique community here together in church, a community of faith, so different from life as it's lived out there. We come back in and we tend the flock. We care for one another. And then we serve at the Lord's table. We worship and we offer ourselves to Him, bodies and souls. That's the part we've been given. We take it up without thought of a reward because it's its own reward. And when you've done those things for a while, you begin to realize that's true. When we give ourselves up to that, when we give ourselves almost like slaves to the kingdom of God, we realize after a while we're not being used up. We're being filled up. We're not being diminished. We're being created anew. We're not losing ourselves. We're finding ourselves, our truest selves. I would never have admitted it when I was 14 years old, but the old man was right. My reward for helping him build that patio that Saturday morning was sitting on that patio that evening and many, many beautiful summer evenings afterwards. The reward for working on the kingdom of Jesus is the kingdom of Jesus. The reward for helping Jesus build the kingdom of God is life.